the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself.' And you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did at Capernaum.'" And he said, "Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But Jesus passed through the midst of them and went on his way. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Way off the cliff. Jesus' work at the shores of the Sea of Galilee in Capernaum were noteworthy. Word of the miracles he did would spread throughout the countryside. Word of the power that went forth from him to all who touched him, so that people would come bringing their sick, their unwell, those who were possessed by demons, those who had been ill for long years and known no relief. They would bring them to him for healing. And he would. On the shores of the Sea of Galilee, he would heal the people that were sick. He would bring sight to the blind. He would feed the hungry. He would cast out demons. And word of him would spread throughout the countryside. News of him would grow. And all of those things have yet to happen. When Jesus gets up in the synagogue in Nazareth to read from the scroll of the prophet, Jesus has not yet done these things. The Gospel of Luke, which puts the order into the stories of Jesus, puts them in order in timelines, notes to us that Jesus was born, Jesus grew, Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan, Jesus was then sent out immediately into the wilderness where he was tempted by the devil. 40 days. And when the devil had finished every test, Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Nazareth. And this is where we come to now. Jesus reading from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. It's handed to him in the synagogue, and he stands up and he reads these words: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because God has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. God has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And it is these words which Jesus says this morning: "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And then he says this news about Capernaum. And I wonder sometimes if maybe Luke just got it mixed up, if he didn't include some of the work that Jesus had been doing thus far, if Jesus really had been doing these things in Capernaum and in other places, and now in Nazareth, now he suddenly doesn't. But Luke, again, wanted to put everything in order. He wanted to put the events in order. And so this order of events is a bit important. When Jesus goes on to say, doubtless you will say, do here in your hometown those things that we have heard you did at Capernaum. Jesus hasn't done anything in Capernaum yet. And perhaps in this moment, he is foreseeing, prophesying what will be. Prophecy is a unique and often misunderstood skill. When we think of the word prophet, we think of a person who can tell the future. When we see the prophet Jeremiah filled with the word of God and proclaiming that word to the people, repent, God is about to do a dangerous thing here. If we do not fix our ways, God will destroy this kingdom. Jeremiah's words are about destruction and being overthrown. And then at the end, there's a promise of rebuilding. It's because his words lined up with the future history that we have his words today, because his words came true. And yet, is it just about seeing the future, what prophecy is for? It seems in this moment that Jesus here is foreseeing a bit of the future. It seems as if he is leaning into that description. But maybe he's just seeing where things are going. Maybe a prophet is being able to look at the world and see the repercussions of the events that are already taking place, to see where, if we stay on this path, it will lead us, to know the past enough to see where it will take us in the future. And Jesus sees the path of his town folk in Nazareth, knows what he's about to do down in Capernaum, and sees the future that's coming. And in his words, he's proclaiming that future to them today. It's the same thing that he has just done. When he's handed the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, these are words that people know, that people have known and heard read in synagogues for hundreds of years. It's a promised future. A glorious time when release is proclaimed, where oppressed are freed, where God's favor is poured out now. And for Jesus to say, this future is now, this anointing is now, this anointed is me. Well, I think this is the problem that rubs people the wrong way. Because we have a difficult time with a new future. Change is hard. When things come and it's something new, we are prone to mistrust it. We're prone to doubt. And that's what I hear in these words that the townsfolk say about Jesus. Isn't this Joseph's son? This is a word of doubt. This is a looking back at the past. Jesus, who is proclaiming this future that is now, this anointing that is promised in the future, that is long awaited for, that it is happening now. Those in his town look at him and they go, but aren't you just Joseph's son? Aren't you just the carpenter's boy? No, I know you, Jesus. I know how you grew up. I've seen you grow up. You cannot be the one I've been waiting for. I've seen you this whole time. People are upset now. People are furious. People are enraged, the scriptures say. And the mob leads Jesus, chases him out of town, pushes him up to the brow of the hill, to the cliff. And there, at the edge of the cliff, with an angry mob on one side that wants to do Jesus harm, that wants to kill him, and the cliff and the fall on the other. Well, if we look at experience, if we think about what has happened before, what we expect to happen now, well, our experience with the way of the world as it is would say that this is a pretty difficult place for Jesus to be. How do you escape from a rock in a hard place, from a mob in a cliff? How do you get down when there's no way out? See, our imaginations struggle with this. We get locked into the way that things always have been. We get locked into just reproducing what we've experienced before. We do this as we encounter the world. We do this as we live our lives, as we raise our families. When I work with families or with couples that are becoming a family in marriage, one of the things we look at is the story of the family as it has been. How has your family been? What has it been like as you were growing up? What were the problems? What were the challenges? What were the frustrations? What were the anxieties? And notice how the challenges and the frustrations and the anxieties and the worries and the concerns and the priorities of our families as we were raised often become, we take them on in our life today. If we were raised to be anxious about time, then we grow up and we continue to be anxious about time. We reproduce what we've experienced before. If we're raised to be prejudiced against a certain people, oftentimes this prejudice is brought forward again. But if we're raised to think beyond the boundaries of what we normally experience, if we're raised with an imagination that is not just reproductive but productive, embracing the newness, then perhaps we can see what Jesus sees here today, an escape. God's word brings a promise of escape. Cycles of violence have perpetuated themselves for ages and ages, and yet God is bold enough to proclaim, "Today I proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind. I know what you've experienced, and that's blindness. You've never seen before, but now we will see. Oppression has reigned for a long time, for as long as you can remember, but now there will be freedom. Now there is a new thing. Now this new thing springs up before you. Now we are making a way where there is no way." When God speaks, a new thing happens. For God is the one who speaks, and out of nothing, creation happens. We people, we can only reproduce, recreate what we've seen. But with God in the mix, now new things can happen. When Moses was called forth from the Israelites, the people around him knew nothing but bondage, hundreds of years of bondage. And yet, in this one man, in this one moment, now tied with the word of God, given this word of prophecy, given this vision of a future, to let my people go, to march away to freedom, God makes a way. And when the people of Israel come to the shores of the Red Sea, and there's the army behind them, and the Israelites begin to say, "What have you done? They're going to kill us. You should have just left us there." Moses raises his staff, and a highway shows itself through the sea. And the people march forth. And on the other side of the sea, after the celebration and the dancing of Miriam, after all of that celebration, as the Israelites continue to go out into the wilderness, go out into the desert, and their water begins to run out, and the food that they've brought begins to draw thin, the people look ahead and they see the desert and they look behind and they wonder, well, now how are we going to survive? Moses has brought us to this place where ahead there is this lifeless desert. Behind is the slavery that we escaped from. Where are we to go? Moses, did you just bring us out here to die? How are we to move ahead? And Moses, through the power of God that comes to him, speaks to the Israelites, "In the morning you will gather what is out on the ground." And they wake up in the morning, and God has brought manna and food enough for the whole host. Is provided. Water springs from a rock. Birds come to feed their hunger. And where there was no way in the desert, a pathway is made for the people to continue to move forward. When Jesus comes to the brow of this hill, he's faced with another situation. Death on one side, people that want to kill him on another. And oftentimes in life, we face a situation where it feels like there is no good answer. Or there is no way out. No way to proceed without compromising ourselves. No way out of the struggles that we face. No way beyond the constant political divisions that tear our country apart. No way to really, truly move beyond the history of racism in our country. No way to address the climate crisis that seems too big for us to do anything about. No way to escape a pandemic that never seems to leave. And so, how do we move forward? How do we live? Jesus finds a way. The scriptures say that he passed right through the midst of them and went on his way. That where this crowd, this angry mob was there to kill him, he just passed right through them. How might we learn to pass through the struggles that face us to find the way that leads to life? How might we come to pass and find that way through the struggles of life? There's no simple answer. No simple thing that we can do that will always solve the situations. But we can spend a moment to reconnect with the only one who can truly produce, who can truly create. In a moment of prayer, calming of the mind, and a listening to God in the midst of the struggle, in the midst of a situation that we think we cannot escape from, and a listening in a quiet moment. Perhaps, just perhaps, God will show us the way. So when you face struggles, when you come to a situation and you know not how to proceed, take that to God. Take that to God, for God can make a way where it seems there is no way. God has made pathways in the deserts, highways in the seas, safe passage through the angry crowd, and the way off the cliff, I know this, lies in God. Amen.